Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And you can check us out online as well at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me, more about the program. You can listen to past programs there, and you can also read some articles. The most recent article that I have there is God in the Declaration of Independence. I actually kind of hoped to have that out before the 4th of July, but it's there now. God in the Declaration of Independence, and you can see that in the United States Declaration of Independence, it's a bold and daring declaration to King George and the British Empire of their independence from the crown. It's also a powerful statement of their reliance and dependence on God in their efforts to form a new and free country. There's at least four references to God in the Declaration, and for people who don't think that we're founded at least on Christian ideals, I'm not going to say everybody that was there was a born-again Christian, but we're certainly founded on Christian ideals, and I think if you read God in the Declaration of Independence, you'll see where those Christian ideals came through in what really is one of the founding documents, the founding document of our country. And so we'll be talking about a variety of things tonight, obviously the news with President Trump, and certainly praise the Lord for that. But I'm joined in the studio this evening by my good friend, he paid me to say that, Pastor John Lutz of North
hey,
Coast
Pastor
Baptist
Al.
Church.
How are you?
Good. I'm waiting for my payment still. But
I put it on a tab like everybody else.
All right, I'll do that. But glad to have you with us. And, of course, you host a program on the station here too, don't you?
Yeah, we do Friday afternoons right before you at 1 p.m. and for the cause of Christ. And we'd love for you to tune in and listen.
All right. And then, of course, not this coming Friday, but a week from Friday, you're going to be here in the studio while I'm out at the Summit County Fair.
Yep.
So you'll be holding down the microphone here, and I'll be calling in from the Summit County Fair. That's coming up, as I said, not this coming week, but the following week. The fair, Summit County Fair, runs July the 23rd through the 28th. So that'll be July the 26th that you'll be in here in the studio, and we've been doing this for quite a number of years now, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. Yeah,
pre-COVID, no less.
Yeah, it's been quite a while. Yeah,
yeah. So I always enjoy that. It's always kind of fun. The biggest challenge is finding a place at the fair where it's reasonably quiet that I can.
Yeah, that wind whips pretty good.
Yeah, it's either the wind or the PA systems.
Yeah, true.
Or yeah. Somebody's car or something, you know, making a lot of noise. So, but it's always good. We have a booth out at the county fair, Summit County Fair, and we have a variety of Bible tracts and things with it. We have a board. Some people have seen these three-door boards, three things yeah. God cannot do, and it starts with God cannot lie and God cannot change, and then God cannot allow someone into heaven unless they're born again. And
You let me borrow that last year for our Lakewood Community Festival,
mm-hmm.
and we've been doing that probably 14, 15 years now, and by far last year we had more people stop by just to see and look at that than ever before.
Yeah.
So it was really. So what I'm asking is, I need to borrow it again for September.
Well, in fact, I got to go in this week and I got to fix it up because we got a new piece for it because it's getting faded.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
And so I got a new piece. I have to pull the doors off from it, put the new piece on, then put the doors back on, and have it ready for the fair. So it'll be nice, new, and clean, and bright. for you.
All right, we like that.
Yeah, and but it is good, and I can't claim it as original. There's a ministry, was it Amazing Grace ministry? They go to fairs and things like that, and they have used this extensively for a number of years all over the place. And I had helped somebody out that was doing that at some of the fairs in the area, Medina County, Cuyahoga County, Wayne County, I think, are some places that I've been in years gone by. And then he left the area, and you know, we always wanted to get in Summit County Fair because that's where our church is located, right, in Summit County. And plus, when I was a kid growing up, I was in 4-H, and I was at the fair every year with different things. And so I got a lot of connections there, so, you know, in terms of memories and things. And yep, so I always thought it'd be nice to kind of go there. And so a few years back, God opened up the door, and we've been there ever since. So
yeah, that's good.
Encourage people to come out to Summit County Fair then here July the 23rd through the 28th. I'm going to be out there pretty much every day from time the fair opens until the time it closes, yeah, with the exception of Friday. I'll have to leave the fair early in order to be back for our Friday night Bible study at our church, and then I won't be out there on Sunday myself, but people from our church will be out there at those times.
Yeah.
And so we hope people stop by. But in the meanwhile, we got a number of other things going on. And, of course, we've got our callers calling in, and we do not have to spend the entire night talking about the news, but yeah, if you were watching, it's kind of hard to see how anybody could not know about it at this time,
right.
But I was driving home from local grocery in Richfield, and my brother called me, and he's like, Donald Trump's just been shot. And I'm like, what did you just say? He says, something hard to process. He says, I'm watching his rally in Pennsylvania, and somebody just shot him. Yeah, I heard like at least 7 gunshots, and he went down.
Yeah.
And it looked like he was shot in the head. You know, what do you know? I mean, you're in a car, you don't know, you can't see anything, and it's just happened. I mean, absolutely, had just happened because he had just watched it. So I don't even hardly think a minute or two had gone by when he called. And that's how I found out about it. And so I'm hurrying home. I was planning on watching the rally, but I thought it was coming on at, I think it came on at 6. I think it was coming on at 7. So I was off on my time to begin with.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would have been home watching it probably. But when did you find out about this?
When you called me.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Called me and you said, did you hear? And I said, what? Trump just got shot. I'm like, what? Or yeah, I think you said they shot Trump, which is an interesting phrase because we automatically say they.
Yes.
You know, because there's suspect of, you know, we kind of knew, we've talked about it, something may happen, but that's when I found out. So when you called, and some of our family was over, so when I repeated it, I heard them in the back go, what?
Yeah.
And then, so I'm like, all right, we're going to go, and of course get locked into the TV for the next
yeah, yeah, here I am. I'm trying to, you know, get home and do the church bulletin and stuff, getting ready for Sunday. And it's like, it just dominates. Closest thing for me was back when Ronald Reagan
got shot. Yeah.
I remember when that happened. You know, it's just that he came out, I think it was a hotel that he was speaking at, and the guy Hinckley shot him.
Right.
And they didn't think that he was hurt badly at first. He had a pain in the side, but they thought he had whacked his side on the door or something going in, and that's all they thought it was until they started checking him out in the car. And I was actually listening to a former Secret Service officer who did presidential detail, you know, the security detail, and organized and trained and did everything like that. He did it for several presidents, Dan Bongino.
Yeah.
He said that when Reagan was shot, they did not have at that time designated hospitals that they had a route to and everything. They've since changed, I guess, because of the Reagan attempted assassination, because they said they called the nearest hospital and they said, we have the president and he's been shot or something like that. And he said, the guy laughed and hung up.
Yeah.
Thought it was a prank call, basically. Yeah. And they had to go in. Now what they have is they have a designated hospital with a designated route to get there, either by vehicle or by helicopter, especially with the president. And then they have an agent who's in the hospital with a designated phone line. that they hope never rings, which apparently rang that night.
Sure.
And so they take them in. So it's just like today. And of course, as a former president, his security detail is toned down. But as president, when they come into an area, for instance, when they came in, you know, whatever president it is comes into the northeastern Ohio area, I believe it's Metro Health Center has a particular emergency room that is prepped. That's one of them. Maybe Cleveland Clinic or something down in Akron. I think it's SUMA or something like that. But they have certain hospitals. They have to have certain type of quality level of emergency room. Yeah. And they have it prepped, and they have the room, a surgical suite on standby with doctors and nurses and everything on standby, ready to go if something should happen. So it's not like you come in, all the surgical theaters are filled right now. Right. We don't have space. You had to go across town. No, they have something on standby in different hospitals, and they can take them in either by the vehicle, motor vehicle, or they can airlift them in.
And you kind of learn through experience, sadly, you know, because, I mean, with Reagan. Were you in the service when that happened with Reagan? Because that was 80, right? 81?
I think I was still in college when that happened.
Okay.
Because I graduated college in 82, went into the Air Force in 83. That was that.
Because it was 80 or 81.
I think it was like 81 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was
maybe 82. So I was in college when that happened, but I still remember it vividly, because, you know, somebody in the dorm, it came, you know, it's like, we were all watching that and, you know, it's kind of hard to concentrate in classes.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember the one agent, he was carrying a briefcase of sorts, and the next second he was carrying a automatic weapon. Because what happened was the briefcase, the handle of the briefcase was the weapon.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You pushed a button and the rest of the case fell away, revealing the weapon. And that's what he had. So I just remember that. And then going in, and then, of course, Reagan, like Donald Trump, had some pluck about him. He was going in, he shot, and they did not realize how close he was to dying. And a bullet was lodged in, if I remember correctly, near his heart. And they did not know it at first. And when they realized that he's been shot and they're taking him in, they're bringing him into the emergency. And he looks up at all the doctors and he's like, gee, I hope you're all Republicans. And I guess the one doctor said, today we are.
Yeah, that's the right response.
Yeah. But you know something that's interesting, and I know we got some callers that we'll get to here in just a second, but something that's interesting, a lot of people don't remember this, but there was what was called the 20-year curse on the presidency. You ever heard of that?
I have not, no.
Yeah, the 20-year curse. Every president elected in the 20th year, Reagan in 1980,
okay,
Kennedy in 1960. Roosevelt in 1940.
Okay.
And 1920 was that Wilson? Who was that?
You're testing my knowledge.
But I'm going back. But at any rate, back in the 1800s, as the story goes, there was an Indian chief that something happened. And I don't remember what it was. And he supposedly pronounced a curse on the United States.
Okay.
That every chief officer of the government, the president, elected every 20th year would die in office. Something would happen. Now, I don't know how much reality there is to the curse, but I do know this. Historically, every 20th year president did die. And Reagan was a 20th year president. Now, I'm not going to say that Reagan was the epitome of what a born-again Christian ought to be.
Right, yeah.
But I remember another missionary that I worked with in the Samoan Islands, and he said that he knew somebody who had a chance to talk to Reagan and witness to him, and said he came away from that saying that he believed that Reagan was saved as president. And I thought to myself, well, if there is any basis to this 20-year curse thing, it would have to be the devil acting, trying to make people paranoid and things like that, because that's what he does. He wants to make people scared.
Sure.
But isn't it interesting where it failed was a president who claimed to be a born-again Christian.
Yeah.
And so 20 years after Reagan, 1980, brings us to the year 2000. And, of course, that was George W. Bush.
Yeah.
And you didn't have anything.
Yeah, nothing.
And the next one is 2020. And you didn't have anything.
That would be Biden.
Yeah, and he's still there.
Yeah.
But it's like whatever was going on, when Reagan, they attempted to assassinate him, it wasn't successful, and it's ended. You know, the devil can't carry the roots out anymore.
That was Wilson.
That was Wilson? Okay, yeah. He had a stroke, I believe it was.
And, right.
And then the guy before him, I believe, also was...
1900?
Yeah, I think he was also killed. I think that's how Teddy Roosevelt became president. I think he was the vice president, and the president...
was it one of the...
not McKinley, or was it McKinley? I'm trying to
think.
Was
it one of the assassinations? Let's see.
Yeah, I think whoever it was assassinated. Well, maybe not McKinley.
McKinley.
Or was it McKinley?
Rematch of the, yeah. Hold on. Tuesday, incumbent Republican McKinley defeated William Jennings Bryan.
Yeah. But it is interesting how you had this happen. And so a lot of people really thought that that was a fulfillment of that so-called curse.
Yeah.
But it is interesting. Donald Trump made a statement today. He stated last night that he was okay, but his statement today, very clear presentation of the fact that he owes his life to the Lord's intervention.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when you see things, say there's a, we were just looking before the program started, there was a video that slowed it down when he was shot. And they show his head tilt, and there's a diagram that shows the position of his head before being shot and when he was shot. And he tilted his head ever so slightly, which had he not tilted his head at that moment, the bullet would have hit his ear and entered into the side of his head, probably killing him instantly.
Sure.
But because of that slight tilt of the head at that moment, his head was out of the way, out of the trajectory, and the bullet hit his ear and went by. In fact, there's a photograph where you can see the trail of the bullet in the air, because as it goes through the air, it makes a disturbance in the air. It even makes like a condensation trail. It's short-lived. It's the same thing, you know, people get all whacked out over contrails or chemtrails, but airplanes going through the air, oftentimes, under the right conditions, the wing passing through the air will cause condensation to occur, or the exhaust going through the air will cause condensation to occur when conditions are just right. And bullets will do the same thing. And you can see in the one picture that's been shown, the trail, and you can see it clearly went right by his head.
That's amazing.
And it's just
the providence
by the grace of God. Yeah, it's God's protection.
I thought of Washington, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And how he was shot at numerous times. Yeah. In fact, his coat was full of holes.
Yeah, and two hats. I think two hats shot out.
Yeah, a horse shot out from underneath. Yeah. More than one horse.
Yeah, right.
And the Indian that was in charge, that was the French and Indian Wars, the Indian chief in charge told his men to stop shooting and wait at him. And so Washington later on, that Indian got saved. And Washington, when met him, was having a conversation with him. And he says, you know, when we were fighting there and your men were shooting at me and you told them to stop shooting at me, why'd you do that? Now, this was in history books up until the 1900s, early 1900s. It was commonly taught in schools as history. And there's still good reason to believe this is absolutely true. The Indian chief looked at Washington and said, you know, no matter what we shot at you, it had no effect. I told my men to stop wasting their ammunition because you're protected.
Yeah.
You're protected.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's come of it as yet, but there was a hole in Trump's jacket in the one picture. Obviously, he wears a vest, and they said he had two vests on.
Yeah.
But the thing of it is, his arm was up, and when his arm was up, there, you know, you wear a suit jacket, and you know, you're talking, you're preaching, and you lift your arm up, the side of the coat pops out a little bit.
Yeah.
And apparently, one of the bullets it must have struck the side of his coat.
On Trump's coat?
Yeah. There's pictures online. I haven't heard anybody talking about it much because everybody's focused on the ear. Yeah. But there are pictures online showing that. So I don't know, but it's clear that whatever happened, God intervened.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because when I heard from my brother that Trump was down with a headshot, I thought, either he's dead now or he will be.
Yeah, absolutely. That same thing I thought.
It's like my heart sunk. I'm thinking, Lord, what is going to happen to this country?
Yeah.
And, you know, just seeing that, hearing that, rather, and then got home, we turned the TV on, and it's just, you're just watching, you know, over and over the pictures. And then, of course, one man, I think he was a retired fire chief, trying to protect his wife and daughters, is struck and killed. And at least two other people were critically injured in the crowd behind him.
Just said one of them's a Marine veteran. The 57-year-old's a Marine veteran.
Yeah, one woman, she was shot in the hand or the forearm or something like that, and different things like that. And more information is going to come out, obviously, in the coming days because, you know, last night everything, you know, we heard everything about, you know, the shooter's a Chinese national at one point was bandied about, and then it turns out he's a 20-year-old from the Pittsburgh area.
Yeah.
And the early reports on things like this, you never really know 100% what's true and what's not.
Especially with social media today. I mean,
I
was watching a few of them and some reputable kind of newer guys, but they lost credibility big time. That's, I mean, they're like, yeah, we're hearing that Trump didn't actually get shot, that it was some the glass shattered.
But there's nothing that you can see that shattered.
I'm looking like, I don't know, are those like teleprompter things or whatever that whatever they have on each side?
Yeah, that reflects.
I'm looking, is that broken? No, it does not shatter.
No, nothing broken.
Yeah.
And people were trying to say that. So at one point they were saying, yeah, it looks like it was a piece of glass that cut his ear.
Yeah.
And then finally they came back, especially I think that one picture that shows the bullet. And Trump came out when he went to the hospital. He said, yes, a bullet went, it pierced my ear.
Yeah.
I heard it whizzing by.
Yeah.
And so I know a lot of people are praying, and there's a lot of crocodile tears out there as well, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's just you always wonder. Remember Tucker Carlson just a couple of months ago was saying they've tried everything to stop this man, Donald Trump.
Right.
He says the only thing left that they haven't tried is assassination.
You know, and this is what I told the church this morning, gives us great hope. There's a validation that God supernaturally intervened in this.
Yes.
So to me, I told the church, I said, I've been pretty pessimistic about America, but I feel renewed in a hope that God has sent us somebody that he's listening to us. And he's... As is in the scripture, I know people get uncomfortable when you mention it, but it's little s saviors.
Right.
It's mentioned a few times. Even in the Millennial Kingdom, it talks about the saviors are going to come up to judge and stuff. But little s saviors is nothing more than a deliverer of oppressed people. We have clearly been oppressed for many decades now.
Yes.
And a lot of us have woken up in the last couple years specifically, but... and we've cried out unto God, and to see that and say, okay, well, God's got this. As of right now, God's got this all under control. So we have renewed hope that God is listening to us, sending us somebody who is going to do the right thing. He wants to do the right thing. He's proven in the last 4 years when he was president that he did do this. Mm-hmm. And so... went from pessimist to optimist,
right?
Good
reason to be optimistic. And again, whether this was just a series of tragic mistakes, or incompetence, or a little bit of each, or something darker, such as some kind of sinister plot, and I'm telling you, I do not put anything past them. On recent programs, I played some clips, and I'm not going to play any clips tonight, on the lies that had been told. And you know, I was, when I was in the Air Force, I was in the intelligence realm. And so I know a thing or two about classified documents and how to handle them. And when I'm seeing this stuff going on with Trump versus Biden with classified documents and how they're being handled or mishandled and things like that, I know a thing or two about that because yeah. I dealt literally with thousands of classified documents, many yeah. of them top secret, higher than top secret, you know, and because there's code word material above top secret. And so I was so frustrated with that, and then the fact that you had the 51 intelligence and former intelligence officers that that signed a letter saying that the Hunter laptop was likely Russian propaganda, Russian yeah. hoax, and the media ran with it when the media knew that it was real, and the intelligence officers, including Clapper and Brennan, that signed the letter, knew that it was real. They're all lying through their teeth. Right. And when you look at the depth of the lie that was going on with those things and how they used that to do everything they could to destroy him. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the lawfare, you know, these charges that, you know, a misdemeanor charge that's beyond the statute of right. limitations, that when the number, what was it, the number two man or number three man at the Department of Justice leaves, just walks away.
Oh, the third one, yeah.
Yeah, he's number three.
Number three, yeah.
And yeah. becomes an assistant.
Yeah.
Not the head, but an assistant to Bragg.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, in New York, in a county prosecutor's office, a step down of orders of magnitude, and then they take this case that nobody, including Bragg, would take before,
right?
And they turn it into a series of felony charges,
yeah,
absolutely blown out of proportion. And they do everything they can to sideline Trump, and of course they put off the sentencing, and they're talking about doing it later after the convention now, and maybe towards September.
I thought, yeah.
And
yeah, think
and
about all, it would have been the 11th. It would have been
yeah, it was supposed to be the 11th. Yeah. And so all this stuff going on, I cannot totally write off some kind of something
yeah.
going on. And it didn't mean that every single Secret Service agent, every single police officer, every single person charged with the security of Donald Trump was in on it.
Right.
You only needed a few, and some of the things you just, you know, you shake up the detail by pulling away some of his regular detail because Jill Biden's having a
right.
a thing down in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And you pull away the more trained people because he clearly did not have the A team with him.
Yeah.
I mean, these people.
Yeah, it looked weird when they
Now, I have a brother-in-law who used to work on presidential security as deputy sheriff down in Kentucky, in northern Kentucky, by the greater Cincinnati airport. And he did it for years. And you know, we were looking at it, my wife and daughter, and saying, you know, this looks like they took longer than they should have to jump on Trump and protect him.
Yeah.
And my wife sent a text to her sister and said, we're watching this. What does he think? You mean her husband? Yeah. And she said, 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
I saw Jonathan Gillum, who's a security expert, former Navy SEAL, mm-hmm. Air Marshal, I think. I think he might have been United States Marshal as well, security expert. And he was on, and he said the same thing.
Yeah.
There was a Dan Bongino, former Secret Service agent that did presidential security detail, yeah. said, there's a delay.
Yeah.
And part of the reason is the head of the Secret Service, she came, I think, from Pepsi Company,
yeah,
and she's really not qualified. She's like a diversity hire.
Well, she said that her biggest priority was, you know,
and that's what she's
diversity
doing,
and 30% more women.
Yeah, which is why President Trump had with him what's being called the Ponytail Brigade.
Yeah.
And not that some of the women aren't capable, but it's just when you're trying to guard and protect a man that's over 6 feet tall with a woman that barely comes up to his shoulder and she's trying to be a human shield.
Yeah, right.
Because that's what they're supposed to be.
Right.
And she's leaving his head exposed. It's not her fault.
Right.
It's the fault of the person that put her in that position.
Yeah.
And there was just too much. And then she had to try and help him off the stage.
Yeah.
And you needed a big guy as big as Trump there, yeah, and on both shoulders so that they could whisk him down.
Especially when Trump's trying to stay there.
Yeah. And you know that CNN is criticizing him because he said fight.
Oh,
fight,
yeah.
Fight.
Well, of course they're going to use that. Yeah. Yeah. That's why they keep showing him right before he starts to say the F. You know, yeah. I'm convinced they keep showing that because, you know, it looks like it's vitriolic.
Yeah.
You know? Well, you just got shot. You might be a little amped up too.
But there's an iconic photo that's out there now. I have it on some of my social media stuff. And I know we're coming up on a break here in about 30 seconds. Yeah. And we've got a couple people we want to call. We'll get some callers here after the break, I think. And, but, you know, the takeaway from this, people, we'll be talking about this more. We don't want you to be overwhelmed. It's like Brother Lutz said earlier. There's reason for optimism because we saw the hand of God in action. President Trump says it. World leaders have said it. God prevented him from being assassinated.
Oh, yeah.
And if there was a purposeful attempt, a lot of people are...
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and joined in the studio tonight with Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church. And he's with me tonight. We've been talking about the attempted assassination of President Trump yesterday, and we'll be talking about some other things as well. So we got some callers lined up as well. We're going to go to some callers here in this half hour. And just want to remind you that we are brought to you tonight by the Richfield Northfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. So check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find out more about me, more about the program, listen to past programs, listen to our Friday programs, both our 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock hours on Sunday night as well. And there's a number of other things there, including some articles, my latest article, God in the Declaration of Independence, that I just posted up there the other day. And there's other materials there as well. And as like I said, it'll link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. And that's the main sponsor of the program. We're also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. And you can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Let them know you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And I have to point out something about East Coast Pizza here tonight. Going into the break there, we got... I'm going to have to call Kenny on the carpet for this one here. Now, I see you looking at me in there. There we go. See, truth. Confession's good for the soul. That's there, right. Kenny. Yes. I, out of the goodness of my heart, did not eat all of the pizza that we had brought to us on our Friday night Bible study. One of our people brought some pizza from East Coast Pizza Bible study Friday night, and there was some left over, and my wife actually made a good meatloaf, so I was eating meatloaf when I would have eaten pizza this afternoon, and then I had some leftover fried chicken that I would have eaten pizza instead of the fried chicken, but I love leftover fried chicken. So we had all this plate full or tray full of pizza in the refrigerator, and out of the kindness of my heart, I brought four pieces in, I believe, for Kenny. Well, see, he was distracted. It's just
that
good.
It's just that.
And Pastor Lutz is sitting here. His daughter, when she comes back in town from out of state, what does she make you do?
I go to East Coast Pizza.
And you got to go all the way across Cuyahoga County to get there, don't you?
I used to live 10 minutes away. Now I'm like 40 minutes away.
And you have
to go get... But I'd still make the drive.
Well, fortunately, I have somebody brings it to me.
It's worth it. Yeah, that's right. Yes,
there you go.
It's
there you go.
So. It is definitely worth it. Wholehearted endorsement of East Coast Pizza.
We tell people, and Kenny's actually been there, haven't you?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So, like I said, it's not just pizza. And Gus is a good guy. Oh, he's the owner there. He loves the Lord. And if he's got time, he'll talk to you about the Lord. If you listen to the program and you mention that you listen to the program, he'd love to talk to you. And something else that we like to point out, too, is that if you want to start your own pizza business, or maybe you got a restaurant and you need a good pizza recipe, call Gus at East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and he'll help you get started in your own pizza business. Not a franchise, but your own business. He'd be glad to help you out. Just let him know you heard about him here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. That's East Coast Pizza, 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School in Garfield Heights. Give him a call, 216-341-9100. All right, now we've had our 20-minute pizza break commercial tonight, and it's worth it. But we're going to get back to our program here this evening, and we have been talking about the attempted assassination, God's intervention yesterday, and our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we've got Nancy who's been patiently waiting for us tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening. Nancy, are you there?
Hello?
I think...
Oh,
there we are.
Thank you.
Oh, hey.
I was worried I put you to sleep. So,
can you hear me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kenny said you're thinking about pizza too. So, yeah, we can hear you, Nancy. Go ahead.
Okay, good. Well, you know, like you, Pastor Al, I was in disbelief. I was coming home in the car about 6:30 last evening, and I heard somebody say the former president was shot. Well, I thought they must be talking about Reagan. I mean, I didn't even believe it. So as soon as I got home, I put the TV on and I found out the whole thing. And, you know, I just think I'm a little bit skeptical about, I don't know if you heard President Biden and Obama and Hillary and Chuck Schumer, they all gave these tear-jerking, like, sort of like a prayer for President Trump mm-hmm. that, you know, sorry this happened.
Yeah.
And we're praying for him. I'm just a little skeptical, but I really think there's a good chance that they're behind it, because that's the last, like Pastor John Lutz said, and also I did hear Tucker Carlson say that too a while back.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing left they have is assassination, because all the other things that they tried to stop Trump from becoming president or even having him run were failing.
Yeah.
So I really was not even surprised, but praise the Lord, how that bullet just grazed his ear and he turned his head just in time.
Slightly.
That is definitely an intervention from God. I was just absolutely amazed.
Well,
and now
I was going to mention, you know, you're not the only one who shares those sympathies, because Donald Trump Jr. lays the blame for this solely at the feet of the Biden campaign and these people.
Yeah.
You know, I had posted a thing online on our social media just last mm-hmm. Monday, in a conversation with donors. We had a case where, what was it? Biden was talking to his National Finance Committee.
Yeah.
And he said this, quote, "I have one job, and that's to beat Donald Trump. I am absolutely mm-hmm. certain I'm the best person to be able to do that. So we're mm-hmm. done talking about the debate. It's time to put Trump in the bullseye."
Now, I was just going to quote that.
Yes, he said that last.
When I heard that, I said, that's almost like proof right there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that he doesn't want us to remind it.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's pulled that from.
I think it's so obvious.
Yeah,
so obvious.
That was on. That was he had that posted on the Biden social media, and they've pulled that since then. Because 5 days later, somebody listened to him, and they put Trump in the bullseye.
Right.
You know, think about this. Think about this for a minute. You know, remember when John McCain was running for president,
mm-hmm.
and his vice president was Sarah Palin, the governor of Alaska.
Yes.
And she made a comment to the effect of, we need to target these, you know, races or these states or these precincts or whatever. But she used the term target. And the mm-hmm. left-wing media went apoplectic saying, oh, she's calling for violence. She's calling for people to assassinate their political opponents. Mm-hmm. She needs to be thrown off the ticket. This is unconscionable. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. Biden says, it's time to put Trump in the bullseye. And nobody says a thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that phrase stuck out like a sore thumb. I said I don't know how much they're going to be able to put that out in the news or not, because I'm sure that the mainstream media won't do that.
Yeah.
But,
well, that's where you need to go to other news sources, and that's where we see that mm-hmm. Donald Trump Jr. basically saying, and this is what he said, calling my dad a dictator and a threat to mm-hmm. democracy wasn't some one-off comment. It has been the main message of the Biden-Kamala campaign and Democrats mm-hmm. across the country. And he says mm-hmm. this is why this took place. He lays it right at their feet. And I agree.
Yeah. I agree 100%.
You know, even if they had no connection whatsoever with the shooter, and we don't know mm-hmm. what all is going on there yet, but the guy was definitely motivated by hearing this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody compared him to to being a Manchurian candidate. I don't really understand what a Manchurian candidate is.
Calling Biden or Trump the Manchurian candidate?
Calling the guy that shot Trump the Manchurian candidate.
Because
hired by the left.
Yeah, the Manchurian candidate is a reference. There was a movie back, I think the original movie was made in the 60s, I think, the Manchurian Candidate. There was later a remake. The you know, Angela Lansbury that people remember for Murder, She Wrote, as this sweet old lady, plays this really, really villainous woman in it. And basically, these were people that the North Koreans had captured, and they were a result of people in the Korean War. And the North Koreans brainwashed these people so that they could be triggered. And they got one guy trying to get him to run for president, and they would be triggered that at a certain time they would try to assassinate somebody.
Yeah. Oh,
and so it's a famous movie. Not necessarily recommending movies, but if somebody's going to watch it, watch the original. Don't watch the remake.
You know, Pastor Al, doesn't it show how far our country is? We all are not surprised that this even took place.
Yeah.
But the fact that we're automatically, you know, we're like, well, there's a good chance they had a part in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much distrust for the government.
Yes.
That has been sowed among the American people. Until justice really prevails, you're never going to restore that back to where it is. And it's just a sad comedy because we all have the same thoughts that, well, we can't prove it, and you and I aren't going to get close enough to the info to verify it. We're going to go off what other people, quote unquote, qualified experts say. But the fact is, we're all very skeptical that we're getting any truth. Like when you heard the FBI is taking over the investigation because that's protocol.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay,
right.
So now the Biden administration is investigating this, and you would like to take a step back and say, well, we want to think they're going to do a thorough investigation, but nothing's changed to give us that confidence.
No, not at all.
That's just the horrible part.
And that all goes to it.
You know what it's like, the fox guarding the hen house. I mean, the FBI has been so corrupt. How in the world can they give an independent investigation?
And the sad thing is, they might be. They might actually be doing it.
It's hard to say, and no matter what happens.
May have had no connection with the shooter. They may not be involved. This may have been a rogue guy. But we're so programmed, that's where we go.
Yeah, I'd like to see him have the Marshals Service, U.S. Marshals, oversee it, be in charge, but a little more confidence in them. But anymore, the way the federal government is going, it really is hard to know who to trust.
Yeah.
And that's partly by design. And Nancy, I know you have a question, but I was going to say, we were talking about these things and these people offering these condolences, you know, it's like crocodile tears. For instance, let me give you an example here. The Democratic congressman who authored the bill to strip Trump of his Secret Service protection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's Representative Thompson from, I want to say he's from Mississippi, but Mississippi, and he had put this bill in. Now, it's not been in a committee, and it's not, look, I'm being voted on or anything, but still, the idea, he authored a bill to remove Trump's Secret Service protection after being convicted, you know, on these bogus criminal charges, and, you know, this is what he wanted. One of his aides, which, for appearance's sake, they had to fire, but one of his aides said, don't miss next time.
Yeah,
that was her response, you know, that, he messed up. Don't miss the next time. And this is, it's terrible. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. Here's her exact quote. I don't condone violence, but please get you some shooting lessons so you don't miss next time. Oops, that wasn't me talking.
Wow.
Jacqueline Marsaw. Now, of course, they had to throw her out under the bus. But crocodile tears, Pelosi, who was talking about violence in the streets, Schumer, remember his famous thing at Kavanaugh? you know, or no, Trump, if you go against the Intelligence Committee, they got 6 ways from Sunday to get even with you, and making threats against Kavanaugh, yeah, because of the pro-life. Yeah. You sow to the whirlwind, you'll reap the whirlwind, and all that. Yeah. So, I mean, these people have been threatening violence all. Maxine Waters, who famously said, if you see a member of this administration when Trump was still in office, you get in their face, tell them they're not welcome anywhere, push back against them, and get, you know, get people with you. And they're inciting violence.
Yeah.
And then George Stephanopoulos and Martha Raddysh are blaming the Trump campaign's violent rhetoric for Trump being shot.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I agree with Donald Trump, and Donald Trump agrees with you, Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
This crocodile tears. Well, these guys are saying what they have to say. They have to say this.
I think they practice the speech. You know, they probably have 2 speeches. If they did assassinate Trump, they had 1 speech memorized or practiced. And then if they missed, they had another one.
But, yeah.
Biden sounded really smooth, and I think he probably practiced that speech a long time because, you know, he doesn't speak very well off the cuff.
Yeah.
But praise the Lord that God intervened. I mean, that was miraculous. I mean, if the bullet could hit anywhere on Trump's head, the top of one ear would be the best place because it didn't really affect me too much. And here he is getting on the plane, you know, an hour later after getting out of the hospital.
Yeah.
But he is such a strong president. I just admire him so much.
Yeah.
You know, Pastor, I was reminded of a verse, Proverbs 21. It says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. You think
exactly.
of all the preparation. I mean, other than where Joe Biden was, who had obviously the A-team, that was probably one of the safest places to be in anywhere in the country with that. And yet that still happened, but it still took the hand of the Lord to keep him safe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good reminder that we can make all the preparations we want. But, you know, there's something about people get uncomfortable when you make these comments, but the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as lion. Donald Trump is espousing and doing the right things.
Right.
And God is supernaturally helping him. Doesn't mean he's a perfect man. We know he's got flaws. We all have flaws. But he's striving to do the right thing, to relieve oppression, to help people live for the Lord and experience freedom in life. And God is helping, just like he did at the Revolutionary War time and throughout history.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a good reminder that, hey, it pays to do the right thing. But God they prepared. I mean, they go through the trainings, but God had to intervene there. God had to tweak that head just 2 millimeters, you know, otherwise.
Just like an angel nudge him a little bit.
Yeah.
And he moved his head ever so slightly.
Yeah.
And it saved his life.
Yeah.
Saved his life. And it's just unbelievable when you see that happening.
Yeah.
But Nancy, you did have another question too, I think.
Yes. Well, although this subject was more interesting. Okay, well, I do love going down to the lake or going in the woods when it's real silent and just, or even when I'm swimming and when it's silent. And there's just such a benefit of silence. Like I like to quote in my mind the Lord's Prayer, the 23rd Psalm, Philippians 4:8, and many, many other Bible or even hymns I'll just sing to myself. And I do think that there is a great benefit to being silent because we tend to have so much noise, you know, the radio or the TV or talking. And so I did find a couple of Bible verses that I thought were really appropriate. Psalm 46:10.
I was just thinking of that.
Yeah, be still and know that I'm God. And then Ecclesiastes 3:7. They talk about different time for this and time for that, time for silence. And, then Psalm 62, David waits in silence to hear from God. And I just think it's a good time just to pray when it's silent, because when there's noise all around you, it's really hard to focus and listen from God. I know we're not supposed to hear audibly from God, but you can get thought that, come right from
the God
Bible.
Directs your thoughts.
Yeah, directs your thoughts.
Let me give you another verse that goes along with that. Habakkuk the little book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him.
Oh, that is a good one.
Because think about that. When you're in the presence of God, sometimes that's exactly what you need to do. And I, you know, I'm kind of a newsaholic, you know. I listen to talk radio, and I'm working on stuff, and I got something playing in the background. And sometimes when I'm reading the Bible, I have to tell myself, listen, turn the other stuff off and concentrate on what you're reading. Because I'll have, you know, this thing playing over here and kind of half monitoring that, and I'm reading this over here and, you know, doing several things at once. And sometimes I just have to just keep silent and let God guide and direct me.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So, no, that's a good, that's a good thought, Nancy. I appreciate you sharing that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, that's really pretty much, you know, you don't have to cover that too much. But I am just praying for your former President Trump, you know, that they don't try it again, because, we just have to trust God.
Right, right. And that's all we can do ultimately, you know, is trust God, because we don't know what, you know, it's like the old saying, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow.
Right.
And,
amen.
So it's we've got to put our faith in God.
My call.
Well, thank you, Nancy. Thanks, appreciate you calling.
I sure enjoyed hearing Pastor Lutz. He's come to our church, Bible Baptist Temple, a few times.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, good all right. Well, thank you, Nancy. Appreciate your call tonight. And you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. And we got about 5 minutes or so, I think, or less than 5 minutes. What we got? About 2 minutes, and I got a couple other people on there. Let me get Terry in here real quick, and maybe we can hold Terry over a little bit, and then we got some other people calling in as well. Terry, are you still there?
Yes.
I'm doing well. We got about 2 minutes before the break, and I got some more callers calling in as well, so I thought I'd get you here as soon as I could. So.
Yeah, my condolences to the family of the firefighter that got killed during that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm protecting his... That's, doing what his job was to do, he protected his wife and his children.
Yeah,
he was considered a hero for that.
Yes, yes.
And hi to Pastor Lutz.
Hello there, Terry.
My question tonight is, I could talk a lot about what's going on. I said, I'm going to look up and see what's going on with Trump, and I looked it up, and that's when I found out about what happened to him.
Yeah.
So I started reading it. I didn't watch it on the news or anything, but I was reading about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of material coming out, but, you know, stuff is going to change as time goes by and we start to find out more. And, you know, it's just the initial reports, you know, people don't know what's going on, and some people are a race to be the first to report it, and they don't necessarily do due diligence.
So. Yeah, and I think that even Russia likes Trump better than Biden, because they criticize, they say that Biden started all this mess.
Well,
I
know one thing. Russia didn't touch Ukraine while Trump was in office.
That's right.
When Obama was president and Biden was vice president, he seized the Crimean Peninsula. And then for 4 years didn't do anything. And as soon as Biden is president, he launches an invasion of Ukraine.
Yeah.
You know,
I could talk a lot about that, but my question tonight was, and maybe John can give a little bit of detail on this, because I've asked you this question before.
Yeah, you have to hold on that question. We got about 5 seconds. Okay. We're going to have a break, so hold on. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. In 1776, a band of American patriots, many of them devout Christians, put King George and the British Empire on notice. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Bold words. Today we face another battle for our rights. Powerful forces are arrayed against us. We face spiritual wickedness in high places. Where are the American patriots willing to put the enemies of liberty on notice? Where are the pastors willing to stand alongside saying, Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. It's time to put on the armor of God and stand.